Man, you already know what the big talking point is. Them 83 points, man. I'm getting tired of all the hate, man. They giving Bam, man. Like it's crazy. I will say this though. Like most of like the former players, and most of them are like, hey man, if you got that opportunity to do that, go ahead and do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like what's killing them is like Kobe didn't have the record. He just passed Kobe. But it's so many Kobe fans that they're just think that, oh, he broke the record. Oh my gosh. Da, da, da. And it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, like it just don't count. Yeah,
Yeah, like, yeah.
I didn't, because like, I'm a Rockets fan, and they asked Ime what he thought, and he was like, I was like, man, this man cold hating, bro. He was like, first thing I was thinking like, well, how did he do that? And then I looked and I saw 43 free throws and Washington Wizards, and I was like, what kind of hating ass shit is this? It's like when you score 18. Come on, bro. Like, and you hit the nail on the head. And the funny part too is that when Kobe played like his last game and he got that 60, where it was, everybody just kept passing him the rock. I mean, he shot an atrocious percentage. He was out there just missing left and right and just, stinking it up. But oh, here he goes. This is his final game. So they're trying to, send him out. Hoisting them up on their shoulders, then nobody had no issue with that. And I was like, damn, that's an ugly game. Like, I thought it was an ugly way to go out, but okay, cool, whatever. Everybody, like you said, it's really more rooted in Kobe's love than it is Bam hate. Even taking 43 free throws, well, you gotta get fouled, number one, and you gotta make them. You gotta make them.
Yeah, and not only that, but like them 43 free throws, like those were legit fouls if you actually watched the game. And I think that's the biggest problem. A lot of people didn't watch even like just every Bam basket. If you watch that, you'll be like, man, them boys hacking. And the part that people like first thing you got to put.
Oh,
It just
breaking
takes a
up,
game,
Ma.
and they just gave him 60 and said, oh, my bad. They said, you starting off with 60, you got to get the rest. Like, he scored the points. And it's like, at the end of the game, he scored the points. So, what do y'all mean? Like, he didn't earn them. Like, man had 34 points in the first quarter.
And the first,
like, what are we doing right
I didn't watch
now?
the game either.
No,
But
nobody
I got that Bleacher Report. I got that. Yeah, who did? Because it was the Wizards, right? And I mean, and the Heat ain't where you'd like to see them if you're a Heat fan, right? So I get the Bleacher Report that said, he had the 30 some points in the first. I'm like, oh damn, well damn, going crazy. That's insane. And then yeah, what he had like, what by halftime, who was he at like 40 something, right?
He had 43 at the half.
43 and a half. He's
Yeah.
halfway there. I'm like, man,
Yep.
look, I'm halfway there. I probably still not gonna make this, right? It's just gotta be a thought process. But then you go to the third quarter. Shit, man, I got man, 70. Oh, I got
Yeah.
this. Yeah, like
Yep.
it just goes to show you, man. People will they'll put their blinders on for whoever they love, and then what made Kobe that much more beloved was his early passing too. So people And it's fresh, like he just passed. You know what I mean? So people don't want to see their heroes crumble. But I guarantee you, who would be clapping it up for him would be Kobe Bryant. Like that's the crazy part.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Kobe would be saluting. He would have called him, even if he would
Yep.
have shot him a joke. While he still would have been like, "Oh man, you in there? I think playing this bullshit against Wiz." But he got 81 against the Raptors, and he wasn't
Yeah.
like the Raptors that of today. Or the championship Raptors of the recent times. So.
Right. And what annoyed me too was people saying stuff like Kobe got the 83 or the 81. It was a pure game. No, it wasn't. Like the last 7 minutes, he took every shot, and his last 7 points were free throws, which is fine. But you can't try to make his 81 be legit But then right. the way you slander and Bam's 83 is like, well, Kobe did the same thing. Unless we're going to compare it to Jordan's playoff game against Boston, where he scored them 60-something points and was trying to win. Other than that, right, every time right. you're chasing a record, the last 4 minutes of a game is going to be fluky, whether it's football or, right. or what have you. Like, just the rules going to change. And it's yeah. like – and Washington was even the team that started it. They started triple-teaming, intentionally fouling Heat players first. So if I'm the Heat and they're like, well, damn, they intentionally fouling my guy, well, I'm going to foul him back because we're right. trying to get this record. And it's like, y'all can't even play decent D to try to stop us from getting it.
Yeah, so, they're right. Yeah. That was the unethical part, was that instead of just playing hoops to me, they was like, nah, he ain't getting this record on. You know what I mean? And I was like, nah, that's unethical. That was the one thing that I thought was unethical in this whole situation, was them trying to stop him by fouling his teammates. I'm like, yo, what are we doing?
Yeah, and then I don't know if you saw one of the videos after he made a free throw when he was getting back, he was telling him, he was like, hey, don't foul, don't foul. And they ended up, somebody ended up coming down, and somebody ended up getting fouled or whatever the case may be. But What kills me in this whole thing is somebody had the nerve, and it's been like a running joke, somebody had the nerve to say, man, once Bam got 81, he should have just subbed himself out of respect for Kobe. Oh, man, bro. When I seen that, I say, dog, I want to know who's the owner of that account, bro. Who's the owner? I want to know who the owner of that account is, because that's the stupidest shit
Somebody who never played competitive sports.
Yeah, man. Like,
It's competition. These guys, and you know what I love about Bam being the guy to do it as well, is that you get these people that be like, such and such a bum, and this guy's a bum, and he ain't shit. I'm like, y'all don't know, man. Y'all just don't know. Like, who was talking about it? Oh, Jeff T. Jeff T was talking about how he was going out there, and he was getting some buckets one night, and he was kind of, you know, feeling himself and talking a little noise, and Derek Fisher was like, hey, I can get buckets, dog. Like, it's NBA. You got to have a role. Like, don't get it fucked up. Like, I used to get buckets. Like, it just changes once you get to the league, to where your role changes, and what they're asking you to do is not going to necessarily be, you know, because it's hard to get that far if you can't put the ball in the hoop. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? And so, yeah, your average fan will be talking all that, all crazy. But, like, I love seeing, you know, they had a video not that long ago of, what's his name? I think Caruso. And he was out there, man. He was out there, just had a, you know, some pickup, looked like a wire, something, just bucking in them people to death, like, you know, half court, just going crazy. And it's like, oh, y'all think he's just a defensive stopper? That's his role, man. That's what they're asking him to do, and be an amazing spot up shooter. So it's good for the fans to have like this perspective and know, yeah, Bam does what they're asking him to do, and that's his role. But if they wanted to try to force his game more into being the centerpiece of the offense, he could do things more along that route, man. But it's just not what they, you know, not what the intentions are. So I'm glad if anybody got it, was a guy that's not known for like being the bucket getter guy.
I know, because like the first when it happened, so same thing, right? So, you know, I'm on my fan duel and all that. So I see 31 points in the first quarter. I'm like, Bam with 31? I say, man, let me check and see what, you know what I'm saying? Like, who playing? Because it's like, I didn't expect that over Hero. Now, if it had been like Hero with 31 in the first quarter, I'd have been like, okay, he went crazy from three. Because he, you know what I'm saying? Like, he going to take 10, 12 threes, and he probably hit like six or seven in the first quarter. He went crazy. When I seen it, I was like, who he's playing with? I said, oh, he playing with some G Leaguers. Like all everybody was hurt. Wiggins out with injury. Hero out with injury. Norman Powell out with injury. Khalil Ware out with injury. Like your top five or six guys are out with injuries. So the offense is running through the role,
right?
Yeah. So he was forced into the role, and it just so happened that he had it going, and they couldn't stop him. So I was in. It might, like, people was like, oh, it's not as impressive. Impressive as Kobe's 81, to me it is, because of the fact that, like you said, who he done it. Like, nobody expected him to do it. You know what I'm saying? If it had been Luka, if it would have been AE, if it had been Shy, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, yeah, but yeah, that's what they do. They're scorers. You know what I'm saying? He just had the hot hand. He had it going. And, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I'm good with it. And it's gonna stand for a while too.
And not even primary score, but primary ball handler. Like Bam is not a point guard. You know, he has the skill to one and a right. big body, but well, he's right, not right. like handling the ball like where Luka touching the ball the whole
all time.
Time. Dominate.
Right.
He's getting it through the flow of the game. And it just goes to show we got some hating ass people out there, dog. Like we saw it during Miami run, like it's like people just don't know how to appreciate and congratulate. Like tip of a cap, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, Kelly Oubre, bitch ass. He gonna talk about something. Yeah, you know, hey, I seen it. You know, that's good. You know, he said I'm a little salty because Joel Embiid did it, and he did it. He was efficient. He did it within three quarters. He got 70 within three quarters. Hey, yeah, well, bitch, why he ain't go for the record?
Because he would have got hurt. like he always do.
If he has 70 and three quarters, you have a whole quarter to score 12 points. He couldn't get it? Like, come on, man. Like, I don't want
to
hear all that, man.
That's the spirit to me. That's the yeah. spirit. Because that's yeah. something fun, no matter what, right? Like, that's just something fun to be like, all right, you see it in football, too. Like, hey, like the Dolphins were getting the points recently. You know, they want to get the points right. Like, There's still a defense out there. There's still somebody to stop them. But, you know, yeah, were they going for it? Of course they were going for it. Why not? Like, hey, this could be something cool. We could go in the record books. And you could, as a player, get to say, yeah, I was on that team, man. We scored the most points ever. And, you know,
yeah.
still for yada, 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 whatever. So, yeah, you know, revisionist history. It's just hero worship, man. People get to loving some of these guys that they grew up loving. Is they don't ever want to see nobody challenge. They do, but hey, shout out to Bam. You know,
and when you get stamped by the GOAT, Michael Jordan, oh man, none of y'all can't tell me nothing, man. If the GOAT right. called me and told me congratulations, he proud he good, you know what I'm saying? And oh man, come on, man. They ain't worried about what goddamn Laker fan 6389 27 say on goddamn Twitter.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
All the haters that got a bigger voice, you know. So the salty haters that got a bigger voice.
My last question about Bam's wonderful night. I wonder if he ended it with the proper nightcap. Like,
oh man, you know.
I'm trying to put one in his age after the night I had. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I died.
You know, that's crazy too. Like them being a couple, like. Everybody on the planet, like, all right, we gotta get this kid now. Before anything fizzles out, we can't ruin this opportunity.
Hey, with these genetics. I'm just putting it in there now.
Hey,
we need to get this genetic prodigy, you know, get it on in the oven, man, so we can see what it do. So I can be alive to see, you know, baby Adebayo. You know what they do in my lifetime.
The Olympics. They got the women's got that thing in the summer. So you know it ain't gonna happen. Probably after, but it ain't gonna happen because they got that up. Even though they're doing like the little FIBA qualifying right now in the summer, they got the actual FIBA tournament.
Oh, like yeah.
So you know
the World Cup.
Yeah, they got So yeah,
oh,
man.
Yeah, before we get out of here and start talking some ball, let me take another football. You know them boys caused such an uproar. Saying that if the hood played soccer, that America would be the best. And, you know, you got all these Europeans all mad and shit.
God.
We will be the best. That, I don't know why that's so hard for them to grasp. They're like, it's different. Listen. You're not thinking about all of our little 5'10 guys that are a little undersized for wide receiver with their quick feet. And they said, brother, if those young cats was focusing on playing soccer,
yeah,
be the shit. And if you want proof, they always talk about Brazil, always send their blood. Da, 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 da. How many World Cups do the women in Brazil own? None.
How
many do the women in the U.S. own? Oh,
like, yeah.
Case closed. If they're gonna stop playing soccer, the shit be over. We just don't play soccer on this side, as y'all call it football. It should be over. But with that said, let's talk some real football.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Ladies
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back, 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Barbershop Football Talk. Sugar, here I am back in the webosphere, in your ear. Ready to talk a little ball, you know, slow cycle. Not much going on right now. We got a little bit of news. Spring is in the air. I know y'all seen the little hype videos and the boys out there running it. You know what I'm saying? Don't it feel good, though, to finally see the hype videos? And it's a good flex now. Like, nah, you ain't like, because it used to be sad. Like, here we go again. Everybody look good running in the little tank tops and t-shirts and shorts.
Yeah, yeah, little catapult shirts on. Yeah, it's different, man.
Everybody look good like that. We gonna put on the field, but now we know it feels good. But doing a two-man give and go today. Rest of the fellas out and about on business. So me and D-Rob checking in. D-Rob, say what's up to the people.
Hey, what's going on, man? You know, another good week, man. Man, we supposed to have a tornado here, man. So, you know, they shut down a lot of stuff here. But, you know, it just had a little wind. It ain't really do too much. So, thank God for that. But, man, let's get into it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, basically, spring. Spring's in the air, obviously. Like I said, guys out there training, we're getting ready. It's crazy, you know. For the first time again, we feel like we just finished football, right? Because we just got to play all the way to the last game of the year. And now a lot of teams get that honor and that privilege and that opportunity. We did, and this is the year that Mario said he was gonna have his championship roster. That was his plan when he got here, you know. He didn't have pillars exactly, but he had a plan. yeah,
you know, plan was like seven pillars. Well, no, like I seven pillars. So. Yeah, oh yeah. Gosh.
Hey, but you know, so funny. Like as fans, bro, we hyping it all. You know what I'm saying? Because that'd be like, all right, we running with it. Like, and now in retrospect, again, revisionist history. You like, man, shit was dumb as hell. Shit was corny.
Yeah,
it's out there with ties on and t-shirts with ties on. Man, that was, you know, like I always tell people, man, I think Al's a guy I would like. I just didn't want him coaching my team no more. He made Anthony Chickalo too fat. That was my biggest beef. That was my biggest beef. Chickalo was out there looking crazy as a freshman. And I was like, man, this guy might be something. And then he just made him get fat. It didn't work out. Soon as he got done, sheds a bunch of weight, ends up going to the league.
Yep, went to the Steelers and was balling out.
About six, seven years or so.
So, and the thing is, we just had him at the wrong position because maybe we bought him up to be like a DN in 3-4. When he got to Pittsburgh, he was a linebacker in a 3-4. So he went up there, did his thing. Like I said, he had like 6-7 years. You know, I think that's a 6-7 year career in NFL is actually pretty good. So, you know,
You know, not to get down that road, man. He ran into a personal situation that really, I think, cut his career.
Oh yeah, short of
four years. So without that, he probably plays another, 2 to 4 more seasons in the league. You know, he was a valuable member of that team over there, even as a rotational guy that they would bring in, to come in and spell guys. He was an effective player. So, but you know, from what I understood, he got help with all that, and you know, life turned around for the better. So more power to him, and I hope he continue to ascend in life. But yeah, man, the hype video's out, and we can be proud of the hype videos and actually think, all right, we got something going. So with that said, we got Pro Day, right? Pro Day is gonna be on the 23rd. Our top guys went to the combine. They really didn't do anything but measure. You had like Markell Bell ran. Jacoby Thomas got out there, did some of the drills and whatnot.
Yeah, Wesley Bissant got out there. Bissant, he did some drills.
Right. But yeah, the top of the top, the guys that, you know, are going to be absolutely drafted and, you know, pretty much first round, I'm pretty sure you're going to see Bane, Mezador, and Maui Noah all be going in the first round, didn't do anything. So I think my question here is, you know, Pro Day is obviously a lot of guys choose to go to Trout, especially top guys. So this is very normal to skip out. The combine tends to be more proven grounds for guys who need a little boost in their profile. So they take advantage of that invite. And, you know, NFL understands, too. So, like, a guy like Bane's really there for the media and to get some measurables. It's really all they're really trying to get out of a guy like that. But with that said, who do you think might take this opportunity to, you know, further earn some money and boost their position on people's boards?
I'm gonna say I think, oh man, I got it kind of between two. I think Beck is going to, because he didn't run and all that, but he threw. I think he had a pretty good pro day. So I think that he's going to increase his stock a little bit, because, like I said, the top two quarterbacks is Mendoza and Simpson. And then it's like a drop off. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he can make himself a little bit more money. You know what I'm saying? In that aspect. And then I really want to see Keontae Scott. I think he will make him some, because the fact that he had a great year. They're talking about, oh, he's the best nickel corner in the draft. Now it's the pro day, I think he's going to put on a show. You know what I'm saying? I think he's going to run in the low 4.4s, maybe a high 4.3 somewhere in that time frame. And I think he's going to be exceptional in drills. And I think that's probably going to push him up maybe a round or so. I got him like early third, you know what I'm saying? Somewhere in there, you know, possibly with a great pro day, I think he could jump to the second, you know what I'm saying? Cause I think like he, you know what I'm saying? I think he can make that leap with what he did. So those are my two right now. Those are my two.
Yeah. I tend to agree with both of those. I think a lot of teams want Keontae Scott around that second round level. I think some of the hesitation will be some of the hesitation people think is going to be towards Nezidor, but people are pretty much like the consensus is they just going to go ahead and move, because the only real knock against Keontae and Nezidor is they're a little bit old.
Yeah, they're 24. Yeah.
Right. To me, though, I'm like, well, you got to look at the positive of that, too, right? Like, now you're dealing with the grown man who understands the mission at hand. He knows he's going to be lucky to play 8 years in this league. He would be blessed to play that long. And I think there's a certain mental and physical maturity. And the other positive of that is, why wait until a guy gets to be 25 to have to pay him the big bucks, right? If I can get him on this rookie deal, I would tell me, like, if I can get Mezador at the 22nd pick, well, that's cheaper than paying him when he would have turned 25 if I'd have drafted him at 20.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now I gotta repay him. So if he's that guy that I think he could possibly be, I think having an age factor is a weird deterrent. I wouldn't worry about that at all. I'm like, nah, that's good. I hope he is that guy right now. That way I don't have to pay him at least for a few more years. Let's see. Yeah. I think he can. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Because even so, like, if he do go, like, 22nd pick, you know, he's guaranteed a four-year deal. And he's 24. I mean, he'll be 28. You know what I'm saying? Some of these dudes, 28, they'd be on finishing up their second contract. You know what I'm saying? Probably done got paid some bread, about to get onto that third contract where they really about to get bread. So now you got them 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Oh, actually, no. If you're a first round pick, you got 5 years, because it's the 4 years and then you have the fifth year option. So that fifth year option, they still can, you know what I'm saying? Like, can still get you at a bargain. And you know that is what it is. But yeah, man, I can. Damn, yeah, Mezidor, but I don't think he can boost, because I think a lot of people got him like either first or second. Late first, early second. I think he's in that. I don't think he's probably going to be able to move too much.
I wasn't putting him as a guy that can get boost. I was just saying that was the same knock was the age thing. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mezidor are good. Now, I don't think he slips out first. It was a little bit of that talk at first, but I don't think nobody's going to be fool enough to let him go If he get all the way down to, you know, 26 or so, somebody can go in and snatch him. Hell, we'll take him. 49, we need another edge. So, I don't think he gets out of the first. But there was some of that talk at first just because of the age thing.
Yeah. I will say this. I would have said, like, C.J. Daniels, but this wide receiver class is kind of deep. I think they got, like, what, 4 or 5, possibly going first round. Mm-hmm. I think if he runs a 4.4, because me personally, I think C.J. Daniels probably like a 4.5 guy, 4.5, 1.4. He in that range from what it looks like to me. But if he gets into that 4.4, I can see him sneaking up too. I can see him sneaking up a bit too. And yeah, and then I think the one that we're not talking about, I think that's probably gonna help us up the most. But I just, you know what I'm saying, off the top of my head, I wasn't thinking. I think Anais Cooper. I think he's the one where we're not even talking about him. And I think that he's gonna be good.
I saw something, one of these things I saw. I can't remember. I reposted it off 26, but he was listed as one of the big risers post combine. Him and Markell, actually, both of those guys were listed as big risers. Yeah, I think both of them just have intriguing upside for teams, especially when you consider the amount of snaps and experience that Anais has under his belt. I mean, he's been there from the giddy up. You know, he's been at that position for a long time. He's been cross-trained. So, you know, even in a pinch, you probably, if you got in a bad pinch, man, you could put him at center if you had to. And then, you know, obviously Bell just with his size and, you know, his only knock, honestly, is they probably would like to see him play another year of football. But, you know, had an eligibility thing go right for him. So, yeah. Yeah, I also agree with Bet. I think, to your point, thin QB is a bad year. We're only going to have one first-round quarterback by my estimation. Somebody might get thirsty and take Simpson. Somebody might get goofy. I think it would be a big mistake. I just don't think he's ready. I don't think he's played enough football.
Two teams, right, when it comes to that. I see the Rams because of Stafford. He's getting up there in age. I think he probably got maybe two more years. And I think they want to put somebody behind him to develop. So I think that they might jump back into the first and get him. And then I got Arizona. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a quarterback. I don't see them taking a quarterback that early because they have, what, number 4 pick. But I can see them also possibly jumping back into the first and probably looking at probably trying to grab Ty Simpson if the Rams don't get him. Or I can see them probably that early second, you might see, I can see Becker or somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody who they probably think that they can develop. That's what I see.
And it speaks to the thinness of this draft. So I think Beck already did himself a big favor at the combine. I think he earned him some money then in a year where they just like, damn, man, the QB class is weak. You know, he was praised for his accuracy. You know, he just put the ball in really good spots. His timing was good, even with guys that he ain't been working with like that. So Beck, I think, already helped himself, but for sure the pro day could just add a little more. They can add a little bit more to what he's going to his stock. Cause I mean, I don't think he'll go second, but I think third. I think by the third round, just because it's weak. I think somebody goes for it, man. And I'll be honest with you, I can't see Beck as an NFL starter, but I think he could be a NFL, you know, career backup guy. You know, come in, spot duty. Hey, man, he looked like one.
Yeah.
White and tall. You play a long time in this football league. Your good point with C.J. Daniels. I think the knock on C.J. will be the injuries. I don't know if he could do much. I think with C.J., you're excited about all of the potential and the upside with him. But, again, the older guy and, the injuries have just, you know, year after year. You know what he could give you on a good day. Like he's a dynamic wide receiver, man. Dude, go get robbed, period. Like that is, I ain't seen nothing like that in an orange uniform and sheesh. I don't know. Thickness and stuff, like the way he just go get it. That catch against Notre Dame alone, right? Catch of the year still.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of guys could do that. So a team is going to give them an opportunity. But, yeah, the injuries combined with the age, they're going to be like, well, if you're already getting beat up, you don't do nothing to get older, you know, it's going to probably be worse. But, yeah, I think all those guys got opportunity to earn themselves some money. I would add one more to the list, Jakobi Thomas, who I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The film for him this year, I think, did him huge favors. I think him coming to Miami really helped boost his stock this year. Previous to that, he played Tennessee State, I think, and then Tennessee.
He played at Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah, then he played at Tennessee, and then he came to Miami.
Right. And he was going to be the starter at Tennessee. Right. That was pretty much a given, but he made a wise decision for his career and came on to Miami. And I think he's done a lot this year to help raise his stock. I think if he goes out there, though, and a few more people get close-up eyes on him, maybe throw a few reps up. He's not a guy you can hate. Like, man, because his question was, how could he do, basically in the open field as far as the passing game goes?
Mm-hmm.
And down, what, 4 picks this year?
No, I think it was it 5? I think he had five. Well, we know Fitzgerald had 6. I think he had 5. I want to say he had 5.
Right. More than
he had like 5.
A lot of
way more.
Be like a box safety. And I think this year he really showed his ability to, be a guy that you could rely on outside of just coming down and crashing down for the run game. So I think he goes out there, a few more eyes on him. Gets out there, looks smooth. I think he's a guy that teams are going to want to, when they get around that fourth round, I think their trigger finger might get a little itchy. So I think he got an opportunity to make a team go, yeah, we're not going to wait no more on this guy. I think he's an actual ball player. You got to love his attitude, too. Jakobi's like, bro, he got that. He got that dog, man. Like, man, Nelson, man, he got a dog. Like, he got an intensity. That's what I love about him and Keyonte Scott. I think that's why I used to go back and forth all season about defensive MVPs. These guys were just bringing because you look at our secondary the previous year and then our secondary this year, and it was like night and day. Like,
it was a complete turnaround. Yeah.
We had some real head hunters out there. So, yeah. So he'll be another guy I think got opportunity. So pro day coming up, we'll see how it goes for everybody, Teams will be there for sure. You have this kind of year. We probably won't have the most teams show up that we've had in 20 years.
Last year we had. I don't know if we're gonna outdo last year because of Cam Ward. Like we had, well, we had. Well, I think we had. Yeah, I think over 50.
Probably didn't even show up because you ain't getting them. Like if you weren't worried outside of Cam because you had Cam and Arroyo.
But I think a lot of people was trying to see what I think a lot of people was there to see Restrepo to see what they're going to run in at 40, which that was a big. I mean, speaking in hindsight now, it's like, damn, he shouldn't have did it. But I probably would have been like, yeah, man, I ain't running. Like, I tweaked my hamstring, so I just ran these routes and I did something, man.
Yeah. Well, he went for it. He's still on practice squad for Titans. So, one thing people don't understand, too, is there's some politics to all of that stuff, too. So there were guys that had to bounce around this league a long time before they really got their true shot and their opportunity. And he reminds me of, a Danny Amendola kind of guy. Like, he ain't going to be this physically imposing guy. But, hey, having a damn good career, for what he was and where he started from. Practice squad. Enough to keep on to a team. And then finally, he got his opportunity and made it shake. Wes Welker.
Julian Edelman.
Right, yeah.
But I would say, Wes Welker is the perfect comp. Wes Welker is the perfect comp because they very similar. It's like 5'9"-ish. Obviously, I think, he weighed more than Wes Welker, but he wasn't no speedster.
Right.
He caught everything that came to him.
I got him. Right. Some kind of way I got open, he was just a weapon. That's just what it is. So, yeah, it could be his path, too. So we'll continue to watch that journey. But so for the guys that are going to be on the team next year, you got, spring ball starts after, right? Right after we get done with pro day, the following day, spring ball starts off. And, you know, the excitement cranks right back up, right? So now it's a real look at the first team that's going to take the field next year and what we think we're going to have this year. And I think, generally speaking, everybody's optimistic. I think we're going to field a damn good team this season, a team that can compete for the Natty again. But I think there's some question marks that's out there. So in looking at that, who's a guy or a position in general, either way you want to attack it, that you think kind of needs to step up so that we're that much more dangerous next year?
Jordan Lyle, off her up. You look the part. You know what I'm saying? We see the video. You look the part. Stay healthy. You know what I'm saying? You came back for a reason. You could have easily went anywhere. You had options, but you chose to stay. And you got to think about it. Pringle's going to get better. Shamar Moore. Shamar Brown is going to get better because he's only a junior. He's a junior now. Right. You know what I'm saying? So he's a true junior. Fletcher is Fletcher. You know what I'm saying? Like he's just getting faster. So he needs to carve out a role, man. He needs to carve out. He's too talented to be on that bench, but we know it's just injuries. Like, you just need to get 100% healthy and you know what I'm saying? And get you some playing, get on the field some way where they have to play you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't not have him on the field, because guess what? You were the starter against Notre Dame. You were the starter. So obviously you were the best running back in the room coming out of spring and fall camp. You were the best running back.
Yeah, so I think a big thing with Jordan was, even when he did find himself healthy, I think it was the mental half. And I think with few opportunities he got, he tried to press too much, tried to make too much happen, because he already saw his role diminish. And got to have the mindset where he just holding my spot for a second. I think he thought his spot was getting taken. And so any little chance he got, I mean, he was like, oh, I'm going to make a huge play and make him not take me off the field. And you can't play the game like that. You got to let the game come to you. So I would say another guy that I think we really need some step up from is I would say the tight end room in general was a big decline from what we've had. So, you know, what we expect out of our tight ends and what we got out of our tight ends is not up to par, right? And so when you look at, you know, nine and what happened and what the flash we saw from freshman year, right? All this potential. We heard all these good things in spring, and then the season comes around, and it's a little banged up itself. You know, Lofton just he was fighting through some injuries, but he was too much of a focal point. Honestly, his freshman year, I mean, they were talking about, you know, running back, fullback, halfback, tight end, like everything, linebacker if they needed that, like. This is a guy that I think could be, at least at the collegiate level, a dynamic weapon. I think he's a pro-level fullback. I think a team that, like the Rams, 49ers, the Ravens, guys, these teams that still use fullbacks, I think he's going to be perfect for that type of role once he gets to the next level because of his stature. You know, he's probably barely 6'2", if that. But, you know, he just played bigger. I think he'll find a home in that way. But now I think this is a guy that we saw some of that crazy potential and we heard about all this crazy potential. And then once the season came around, we didn't get it. We didn't get it.
Yeah.
It was a little, and, you know, he was my favorite recruit out of that side. Yeah. Last year was Brock Schott. I'm a big tight end guy anyways, but last year Brock Schott, he switched out on us. Gave him a you know. That's all right. We ain't gonna trust Indiana no more. That's all
right. Yeah, well, hell no.
We threw recruiting in Indiana. No more.
Yeah.
Ex calling moonshine.
So I agree, man. I think for me, Jordan Lyle, but with your assessment, I can see that 100%. But I was looking at somebody posted, and they just projecting, right? They would say, like, they wouldn't be surprised if Mueller came in and took the starting job. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't hate that, other than the fact, I mean, he does have the physical skills already, like the build already, right? But let's not jump over a guy that got his plays last year too, and Gilbert. And Luka Gilbert.
So Yeah.
If Mueller jumps him too, then Mueller's a first rounder. He's that
Jeremy Shockey. Yeah, Jeremy Shockey type. Yeah.
So I think some of the hype around him is a little too high. I think at this point in the process, I'm like, bro, he's lifting weights. You know what I mean? He's big. We knew that when we got him. We knew he was a little underrated because he hadn't played a lot of football. But hell, we did that with Jackson Carver, and he turned out not to pan out so far. Partially because of injuries and stuff too. So I'm not ready to hype Mueller. I see what you like, but I think we jumping the gun. I think we're going a little like, and that happens in college football because you get new players every single year. So we fall in love with the shiny new toy. I think he has some potential. But yeah, if he jumps Luka Gilbert as well, and Luka played shit, I feel like he played damn near every game.
Yeah.
You know, a few snaps at least every game. I think that would tell me, holy shit, yeah, we got a Shockey on our hands. I'd be happy. I just think, yeah, some of the hype is just off of the physique. Big kid, strong kid. He's a true 6'6" type guy, athletic. But you look at Gilbert, and he's what, 6'7"? He's already out there. They trust him already to get out there. He knows how to block at the college level already. So,
yeah,
I would expect, actually, my expectation early on is that it'll be Lofton / Gilbert is what I think it'll be. And then I think if we can get Lofton back to what he was, I think you put him out there and he gets an opportunity to do different things, like just even line him up at fullback, right? And then just throw him a little something in the flats and let him work. And he has the blocking ability to come back out of the fullback spot and help with the running game. I just think he's a guy that can help us so much if we could just get him healthy. If you can get him healthy, get him on this field, I think he's a guy that can really do a lot to help his team. So, yeah, just my assessment of him as an individual, as a guy I think needs to step up, and a room that just needs to step up. Because I feel like the tight end position – disappeared again last year. It's funny because last year it kind of disappeared. This last season and the season before, we had, you know,
Arroyo. Arroyo. We had Arroyo.
And the season before that, it disappeared. Was gone again. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but I think that's more to of what Dawson is doing than the room itself. Because I think Arroyo could have easily had 45, 50 catches last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if they would have.
You mean if he gave him more?
No, I'm saying no. His last year that he was there, past year, yeah. I think he could at least had like 45, 50 catches. I just don't think that Dawson run enough plays where the tight end it's like not even the third option. You know what I'm saying? I think it's like your first option is who's in the slot, obviously, which is Restrepo, Malachi. Then your second and third option is your wide receivers or possibly your running back, and then you go to your tight end as your fourth option. That's how it looks to me. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we did waste Arroyo a bit, because I think that he was a big mismatch for anybody coming up. He was a heavy mismatch. Now, this year, we didn't necessarily have that mismatch as far as like with size and all that. I think, yeah, Lofton could outrun a few people, you know what I'm saying? But as far as like the mismatch that Arroyo brought us, like we didn't see that last year. Now this year, You have Gilbert. Like you said, we got Gilbert, 6'7", 260, however. You got the freshman, you know what I'm saying, who they kind of like, kind of on 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", 260, however the case may be. You have those type of threats. So let's see if you incorporate them more, because I don't – what they did with the Elijah Lofton is what I kind of expect. I did expect, though, more like running at it, because y'all experimented in the spring so much with him running at the goal line, doing all this. You know what I'm saying? They made it. It sounded like, okay, you might see him get 4 or 5 carries a game because he can do it. You know what I'm saying? We didn't see that. So, I
think that it's more of a Dawson thing. I don't think that the room, it's like nobody's stepping up. I just think that they need to prioritize. I mean, you recruit all these tight ends, but it's like you more recruiting them to block than to catch. And it's like, I get it, but man, like, you got some guys that are freak athletes, man. And it's like, get them the ball in their hands and let them do some things. Malachi's going to clear out wherever, because we all know next year, oh, he's getting double. Boy, they're going to try to bracket him. They're going to do whatever they can to make sure. They're going to do whatever they can to get him. You know what I'm saying? And now this is where that tight end kind of comes into play.
I agree that he's not, the tight end isn't as featured as much as I'd like to see in Dawson's offense, for sure. I agree that Arroyo there should be plays just for a guy like him, because he was just too smooth to me. If you recall, like, when we were getting into the season, I said, when I saw like one of the little hype videos, I was like, nah, that cat was too smooth. Like, I was like, nah, he's the one. I knew he was going to have, if he got his opportunity, I knew he was going to make people look bad / good.
Crazy. Yeah.
And he did, man. He took some, man, come on. He just stretched the field. Like, he's got an opportunity. I think he even got an opportunity to be special at the next level. So we'll see. But with that said, who's a guy that you think could, maybe have a good spring that may open up a few eyes and maybe, let's say, disrupt the depth chart a little bit, to where you got to be like, I don't know, man. They might have to put bro up, move him up a slot.
J.J. Dunnigan. Safety. J.J. Dunnigan. I think because, he kind of got a head start on those guys, him and a few others, kind of got a head start. And I think what you're losing – two guys out that safety room or whatever, two or three guys out that safety room, and you're really returning two guys with Fitzgerald and as Poizier as a starter. Yeah. Yes, Dylan Day is there as your third, but I think Dunnigan, if he does what I think that he could possibly do, I can see him taking some snaps away from somebody. I think, I'm probably one of the biggest Dylan Day fans. He might be just relegated special teams duty, man. He might be relegated special teams duty, because he's good on special teams. I will say that he's real good on special teams. So and you know what? He's not only one, because I know it seems like it won't happen because we're so deep there. But it seems like, man, Jabari Antoine, man, it seems like his confidence is up. He held his own. He did what he did when he got the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So I think outside for that one BS, like, pass interference call or whatever it was, or something like that, or wherever he got, I can't remember. I think it might have been the Ole Miss game, one of them games. But I think that he's only going to get better, man. I think he's only going to get better. And I think he might push for some PT, some more PT. Yeah, like whoever that fourth corner is, uh-huh. they might be in a little bit of trouble. They might be a little bit
tough. Because OJ being, top two, but problem with him is injuries as well, right? So, mm-hmm. and we play four corners when we get out there and play. So four corners play anyways as of right now. The rotation is pretty good. The snap count's pretty good. Like, you can mm-hmm. get to play. So I could definitely see him be a guy that could push for more PT for sure, especially if, again, we get a guy – like 29 who, gets hurt again. So it's like, all right, next man up. I hope he has a healthy year, because this could be an NFL year for him and Lucas, You know, mm-hmm. if he can get healthy, if he can get out there and stay healthy, it could be a big money year for him. So hopefully he will, but track record so far says he tends to get a little banged up. So I like that one too. You went with some of the younger guys. I'm going to go with, we mentioned them before. I'm going to go with the older guy, been around the program a little bit. And we mentioned during time before, Juan Minaya.
Okay.
Big guy, man. Big dude. Another 6'6 guy. You know, we got some towers out there, man. You know what I mean? With some wings, man. I think Juan can shake things up as a guy who's, you know, offensive line number one is a developmental position.
Uh-huh.
You typically don't want to put a freshman out there unless they're truly special, like we did with Miami Noah, right? And then we saw every year he got better. Every year he just got better and better. But he wasn't a liability his first year either.
Correct.
Juan was a guy that was always going to be developmental. But he had top interest. He had SEC interest. Yeah, you know, he got a jersey. So, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. A lot of it, you know, they don't think necessarily he's playing the best competition. He hadn't playing as long. I think he was playing basketball a little bit more early in his career. You know, he's up north, so that's kind of typical. I think Juan has an opportunity to come in and, I mean, I don't know if I can put him starting, but I think he could be that sixth guy.
Rotation,
I think he could legitimately be the sixth offensive lineman and kind of line himself up for the starting position the next year. So he's a guy I'm looking to see. I think he's going to have a good spring and really show why all these schools were interested in him and why he could keep moving up.
But you know what? I think it's only two spots on that offensive line that's solidified. And I think that's McCoy and Pancake. I think them the only two that's guaranteed to start.
That's how
I think Cantwell has the inside track to start at one of the tackle spots. So you can really say it's two spots open. But man, it's about to be some competition. I don't think the Georgia kid come in and he still has time left. I don't think the Georgia kid come in right away and just hand down one of those spots. I don't think Brian Rodriguez locks down the center spot. He's too injury prone. He has not proven to us that he can stay healthy. He's been here, what, 5 years since day one? Like all 5 years of Mario, and he's been injury prone. I think the most he's played is maybe 6 games in the season, I think. So it's like, I don't think that's a lot. I don't think that's a lot. Yeah, so I think that
I think there is a little bit of a misconception. Even Cantwell, like you said, I think inside track, yes. But he's going to have to be good at it. You know, and that's the thing, too, is he ain't played near the competition that Francis played, right? Francis was playing at IMG. He was playing some, you know, some of the top DNs in the nation. He was getting
some
of the best of the best at his level. He don't have that. He's got all the athletic tools. He don't have the experience. So I wouldn't necessarily just pencil him in just yet. Not saying he won't, but he ain't going to be giving it. I promise you that. Like, he going to have to be ready. And Francis was ready, so that's what he won. And we didn't have anything else to put out there anyways. You know, at that time, we didn't have a guy that would be developing like a woman who could come up and challenge. It was like, shit, man, I inherited shit. All right, let me see what I can do with this old line. You know, and like Maribor said, he cut his arms and legs off before he let it suck. So he did his thing and he made sure it didn't, and now we're there. Yeah, man, I think those are some good names. I'll say this too before we get out of here. I put out on the timeline and it got a few responses too. And I said, hot take question mark. We didn't, and I put capital need Damon Wilson. And so many people like took that as like I was reaching and this and that. I was like, nah, brother, I'm telling you, I think that notice we ain't mentioned nothing about D line. For like a guy we were. I think the D line's that deep and that talented. Of course, you take him. He's a premium guy. You know, probably the best guy you could go out there and get in the open market. So of course, if he interested, I got the checkbook. Yeah, but what are we talking about? You always gonna take a premium pass rush guy. But if we didn't, I still wouldn't be worried about my defensive ends. That was the point I was trying to make ultimately, is that I think we got the DNs. I think it's probably our deepest position on the team. And
mm-hmm. you know,
Hey, am I happy to have him? Absolutely. But if we didn't, I wasn't worried about that DN, man. I think that D-line, we good. I'm not worried about them at all, brother.
I just need a third guy to step up at D tackle. I know we grabbed the guy from Nebraska, Keona Davis, and they were upset about losing him because he's versatile. He could do inside, outside. He probably is an inside 6'7", 3'10", 3'20". Yeah, he you know what I'm saying, pretty big guy. But I need that third guy to step up. You know what I'm saying? Just like Moten stepped up last year as the third guy, but he ended up being like one of the two guys. You know what I'm saying? Like he ended up getting So
he ended up season three for sure, and then I think he worked his way into two. And,
Nate
Scott had to climb back up and fight back to get those. You know, which is what you need. You gotta have.
Yes, that's why I'm not mad at what we bring. I'm not mad at what we bring in because we need that competition. You don't want none of these guys to get complacent. Like, I'm the starter. Yeah, man, I ain't going. No, bring the guys in. You know what I'm saying? If they want to transfer, let them transfer. They running away from competition because guess what? When you go to your next school, it's the same thing. You're going to have to compete.
You got to fight.
And
that's why I give credit to Jordan Live for hanging around. I give credit to, we were speaking to tight ends earlier. Who's my boy that flipped over to the tight end room?
Cole McConaughey.
Credit to him for sticking it out. He was a guy that, you know, he got a little tape already. He's got the frame, and you know, he was hurt last year and kind of ended up falling down the depth chart, and he done fell down to that's again. That's another reason I like this DN line room so much. The defensive end specifically is, hey, bro. A guy that played a lot of snaps in his freshman year, he's not getting back on that field at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, man, hey, coach, I can play tight end. You know what I mean? That, again, testament to that defensive end group, man. I think, man, we got some killers out there. I don't think you're going to see much of a fall off. Of course, Bane is a different monster, a guy that, you know, should have been ranked higher even out of high school, but a little bit shorter or not quite as long as you want for a prototypical guy. Mm-hmm. So he didn't get that. But I mean, if you go back to what he was in high school, it's kind of hard to see that he wouldn't be what he was in college too. So, I just want to clarify that just a little bit.
So which position group are you most worried about? Like where you're most concerned, like where you thinking like, damn, I mean, we said tight end, but it's like we need to improve the tight end room. But I think mm-hmm. the tight end room is more on the coaching as far as implementing plays for the tight ends. But what group are you most concerned about? Like, oh, man, I don't want to get from this group. It looked good.
I think now, to your point, I think there has been a talent issue, too, because we would have got balling. And he ain't that good. That's just the bottom line. Guy ain't that good. And we got him started. So it is a bit of a tough. If I'm looking at talent, I probably would say that, honestly, with all, even though you kind of gave me my answer, it probably is tight ends because I need to see who's going to step up. Because I'm worried about Lofton with his injuries. What role can he play? And then after him, you got, Luka, but he's still young, has got a lot of reps, like as far as in the passing game. So I don't know what he brings to us in that, you know, necessarily in that category. When I look elsewhere on the team, just a quick scan through my brain, I'm good at QB, running back, wide receiver, O-line. All right, then the flip side, DN, D tackle, linebacker, the O. I would like to see Kellen Wiley. I'd like to see him knock one of these old dudes out of the way. But I'm not concerned. I think either way, we're good at linebacker. And then safety, again, good, corner, good. So, yeah, honestly, I ain't worried about nobody. But if you make me pick, I'm going to go tight end.
See, this is where I'm going to go different, right? Because, like I said, I think we had grabbed Bowman last year. But we saw, I kind of saw a few. I mean, he had like 7-8 touchdowns at Tulane his last year. He, you know what I'm saying? Like he did his thing. So I expected him to. I did expect him to do a little better. That didn't happen. So you know it is what it is. But I think linebacker, because like you said, yeah, we're all older. Yeah, Teray's back. Yeah, Chase Smith is back. But then behind, you know what I'm saying? Like behind them. Yes, we got Bonner from NC State, but like he really didn't play this year. And then when he did play, he gave up a touchdown against Syracuse. Like, I don't know what he was doing. Like, when they got that touchdown at the end, he gave up that touchdown. And he really didn't get that many snaps. I think they wanted him to kind of put on some weight. Do I think he can be good? Sure. He was a starter. He started at NC State. He had, like, 90 tackles his first year. But for you to go from that to not really, you know what I'm saying, playing, it kind of concerns me. So, like, what was your issue? Now, behind Teray, if we had Popo back, I wouldn't even say linebacker. I say, you know, I think we good. But by us losing Popo now, if Teray's out, who's gonna be that guy with the experience that we've seen on the field that's gonna, you know what I'm saying, is going ahead and do his thing? We expecting Kellen Wiley, him to do, you know, him to be good because of the potential, you know what I'm saying? But like, we don't know. We just don't know yet. So
that's a good point. That's look at, you know, the guys that are probably penciled in at starters right now, both of them have injury history. Chase Smith was probably the healthiest he has been last year, and maybe even the year before, but his first couple of years he got banged up bad. He was a guy that, remember, came in, I think, at safety, and they moved him right to linebackers, and we thought, saw potential, but then he got hurt. And then, yeah, obviously with Torre, you know, people – trying to bag him because he, you know, still playing, but he's been hurt year after year after year after year. So who's to say he don't go down again? So actually, you're right. I think that room, at least, I think we kind of hit nail on the head, both sides of the ball. If we're looking at it, I'm worried about, I ain't seen too much out of this tight ends, right? I don't know who we got. And then on linebackers, starters, I feel good about if it's those two, but injury occurs. And then who with you? I'm like,
And like I said, Teray, he put it, man, out of the A&M game. Hey, man, he deserved. Hey, I was not mad that he came back another year. He put his body on the line. He balled out. He did his thing. He actually got better towards the end of the year, much better. So I wasn't disappointed in that. This is another guy who I'm a big fan of. Bobby Pruitt. I'm a big fan. Yeah. He got all the tools. I think it's just a weight thing with him. I think he needs to put on a little bit more weight. I think once he does that, I think he's good. So hopefully that's the focus for him.
Is he can't put that weight on and hold it, I think. And then, you know, at one point, I think they were talking about officially moving him to the safety room.
To safety room. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So I don't know if he's going to go back to safety. Because by now, he should have been able to put on the weight they was hoping he would. I'm with you. I'm a fan. Just, he's so fast, man. He's fast and violent.
He'd have been great.
He could be another Bobby Washington, right?
Yeah.
You know, he ain't quite got it, but go ahead.
Yeah, he would have been great in Manny Diaz in that striker position. I think he would have been great for that position. That would have been his money position.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
I think in a roundabout way, we kind of looked at it from both sides of the football, and I think those would be the two areas of highest concern. I do think all in all, this is still a championship roster, but even championship rosters got questions. I mean,
correct.
It's hard, especially in this day and age. It's hard to have, you know, the day of the 3-deep. Yeah, that shit dead, bro. You're not going to be 3-deep. Yeah, you're a champion if you're legit 2-deep. If you're 2-deep all across, then you get a real chance. It used to be a guarantee when you was in Georgia and Alabama, where you was just 3, even Clemson during their run. They just kept reloading. And these guys were getting to play because they're beating the hell out of some of these teams, and these young boys are getting the opportunity to get out there and play. But anyways, we're going to get out of here, man. Appreciate y'all pulling up. You know, look how we made lemonade, man. I didn't think we were gonna have enough to talk about.
Oh, it's always from football to talk about, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, next week these shows probably gonna be a little bit longer because once that spring hit, boy, we're gonna have a whole lot to say.
I ain't even gonna say
time for the hype. Yep.
No more lies.
Oh no, boy, we ain't telling no lies, ain't nothing but truth, man.
No more lies, baby. We don't have a Lions season. That's for these other teams, right? Y'all got to get y'all lives off. You Gators, man, y'all got to get these lives together, man. You know, yeah, it's time to say, oh, I believe, you know, Deuce Robinson going to lead the nation in receiving yards. Even though I don't know who the hell going to throw it to this man.
we don't know.
Hey, brother Deuce, man, hey, man, I know that check fat, bro. I know it's humongous. It ain't make no sense to go back to Florida State.
Well, yeah, man. You averaged like over 20 yards a catch. He had over 1,000 yards. Bro, I would have took off so fast, man. I would have been gone, man.
I would have got that bag, yeah, and went to a team that can win something. I'd have bagged up and got on out of there. But I guarantee you, Florida State outpaid anybody else.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, because they just, he's all they got. So they can't afford to lose him. So, but anyways, yeah. Enough of them people. We up out of here, man. We'll be back with y'all per usual. Appreciate you. Peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.